We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the Looneers pod. I told you last game, if Looney kept playing like this, we're renaming Lightyear's Looneers. And what does Kayvon Looney do? What does the legend himself do? Arguably his best game ever, at least his best two-way game, 21-12 from Looney. But I don't even think that that puts justice to it. Like, the last week has been just Looney propaganda OD because he's been out of his mind. This is a huge Warriors win, coming back from down 19 at halftime. Andy, how are you feeling?
I love that you start with Kevon Looney because you've been the biggest Kevon Looney proponent. You've never said anything bad about Kevon Looney. I've said some things that I regret now because this is the greatest performance Kevon Looney's ever played. This is the greatest performance from the Warriors in the last 3 years. A championship level performance by the Golden State Warriors tonight.
I think, look, man, they got to win six more games to get a ring.
Yeah.
But this was a legitimate championship level performance to me for a variety of reasons. In the first half, they played awful. They were turning the ball all over the place. And Luka did what great players do. He adjusted after a bad first game, and quite frankly, he played a pretty damn good game. Yep. I mean, he was scary at some of the shots he was hitting. Not just him, the role players were hitting shots. They were up 19 at one point. I wasn't sure the Warriors were going to come back, but they did. Title team dug into it, and what's interesting is they dug in defensively without Draymond and Klay in the third quarter. It was a lot of Looney. It was some Wiggins. Otto played exceptionally. Jordan Poole was driving the ship there. I mean, it was kind of a hybrid first unit, second unit group in there. And they dug the whole way back in. Obviously, we're burying the lead. Steph was exceptional offensively today, but I just feel like we have to start with Looney.
I agree.
He was the backbone of their entire comeback defensively.
Yeah, I mean, look, Steph is going to do what Steph is going to do. You and I know game gets close. He closed the game tonight. He's closed every single game in the postseason so far. Give him a chance to close. He's closing the game. He closed it tonight. Outside of that, I'm with you. Kevon Looney, right? Draymond didn't show up tonight. Klay Thompson hit big shots down the stretch, but he didn't show up for three quarters. But Jordan Poole, Andrew Wiggins, Otto Porter, Kevon Looney, those guys, Sam, showed up. Those are your role players at home. They were incredible. Incredible, especially defensively in the second half. I think a big stretch of it was when they went into the halftime, they were only down 14, and the Mavs only missed one three-pointer in the entire first half. It felt like this team had a shot. And you know, honestly, I thought they were going to lose this game, mainly because we haven't seen this type of Warriors championship-level performance in 2-3 years, right? We haven't seen it since Houston in 2019. But, you know, we haven't seen it because they've been hurt. We haven't seen it because last year was kind of a joke, right? So this was kind of the first opportunity where we can see this team pull that kind of performance out. And they did. That's why it was really cool to see.
The chat's mentioning it.
it was a long comeback too. They didn't blitz him. It was very much chipping away 2 points every minute. You know, it was like you're down 14. Couple minutes go by, you're down 10. Couple minutes go by, you're down 7. Next thing you know, they've you know, it's been 8 minutes and they're now almost tied. It wasn't like a Steph Curry blitz comeback. It was a, we're going to dig in, stick to the game plan, and trust we're going to be able to come back to it. You know who we forgot to mention? So we need to bring him up right now. Moses Moody. Moses Moody gave him some excellent minutes after not playing a single relevant minute in the playoffs. He's really just been mop-up duty. Moses Moody, I thought, played excellent in the third and fourth quarter when he played for the Warriors.
No. Wasn't that crazy? Wasn't that insane?
That's, you know what? I mean,
oh my God. Yeah.
I think we got to give Kerr a little credit for that too.
Yeah.
Damian Lee was, I mean, he was a train wreck in the first half. There's no other way around it.
Right.
But he didn't go back to him. He's like, all right, I can't play Damian Lee tonight. Moses Moody in the second half. Draymond was playing subpar for majority of this game.
Sam, he was awful.
Yeah. Okay. I'm being
you're being nice. She was awful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep going.
Went away from him, rode Looney and Otto, trusted them. I mean, this, I think Steve has been, this has been some legitimate playoff caliber title coaching here, where it's, he's adjusting as he needs to in real time, not doing the things that, you know, kind of drive us crazy with the let them figure it out. It's been very proactive. And I thought nothing was more exemplary of it than the Damian Lee, Moses Moody switch. You know, Damian Lee only played 5 minutes in the first half, but honestly, he was minus 12. I mean, that matches the eye test. The Warriors were close to tying up the game, and then immediately the game got away from them and Damian Lee's missed. It's not just his fault, but he did not play well tonight.
Right. And I think, like, and then part of it's like he wouldn't be playing, but they only got an 8-man rotation. So Kerr's like, whatever, right? Let's throw him out there, give him a shot. And like you said, kudos to him. He said, okay, if he's not going to play well, throw Moody in there. Also thought Steve Kerr called a couple timeouts pretty early when he kind of sensed the Warriors were, you know, down 5, yes, down 7, right? Have you ever seen Steve Kerr call those timeouts?
No, those are Popovich timeouts. Like, right. Pop does that stuff. I always felt like Steve Kerr was more Phil Jackson with the timeouts, where he purposely doesn't call them. Like, hey, I need you guys to figure it out. I'm not going to bail you out. He realizes this isn't that kind of roster. This is a roster where he might need to be a little more hands-on, make quicker timeouts. But I agree with you. There was one in the first quarter where Dallas was pushing the game, that if he didn't call a timeout, I could easily see snowballing to a 22-point lead or something.
Right.
Something crazy like that. But sometimes a timely timeout like that and adjusting people on the fly, that's what it takes to keep you back in the game.
Yep. And I'm with you, Steve Kerr. So I think the rest of the team overall, just a team effort type of game. I think Luka reminded me a lot tonight of LeBron James, just offensively, in the way that he's making just absolutely ridiculous shots, right? We saw in crunch time, he's hitting fadeaway threes. He's getting the hole pretty much at will. He's getting his guy open looks. It really did remind me of LeBron. Like, it's not Harden. It really isn't. It's so much LeBron James. And I think the Warriors really are used to this. They're used to kind of one guy, right? Hey, Bullock, DFS, Brunson, you want to make your shots in the first half? Great. All we got to do is stay alive, right? We can't be down 30. All we got to do is stay within 10, 15 points, and they did. And I think once those shots dried up, you know, once your J.R. Smiths, once your Dellavedovas, your Richard Jeffersons, once your, you know, Dorian Finney-Smith stop making shots, that's where the Warriors come in, right? That's where and this is kind of more mature version of Warriors, like you said, not a blitz. This wasn't Steph going for 4 threes. This wasn't Klay Thompson going back-to-back-to-back in the third quarter. This was like a
Speaking of, like
a boa constrictor. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like – and I actually feel like, you know what? I want to mention this about Klay. Maturity is Klay's performance. He was horrendous in the first half.
He's doing that a lot lately.
A younger Klay might have spiraled and had an awful game. But he hit key shots. I mean, he adjusted defensively down the stretch. This is where they are a very veteran team, where they don't get shook by a bad start to a game. They just adjust. Like, you could tell with Klay, he knew he was playing poorly. but it didn't like get in his head like, oh, what do I do? He just kind of plays.
He got to the hole, right? Like that was the adjustment for him. Was like, dude, stop taking mid-range shots and stop taking threes. Just go to the hole. And that was the adjustment for the entire team. I thought Jordan Poole kind of led the way and Steph finished it. But it was very much like, stop shooting dagger threes, right? We saw in that third quarter, the Warriors, when they were trying to crest that mountain, when they were trying to take the lead in the third, like late third, they kept shooting those like fadeaway threes, Poole shot one, Clay shot, Wiggins shot a couple. Like,
yeah, going for the kill shot. Yeah.
Right, right. And I think like maybe Draymond said it to him, because I could see Draymond saying that, or Steve said it to him, where it's just like, dude, if you go to the hole, Maxi Kleber's not guarding you. Davis Bertans, our guy, friend of the show, Mo Stroop, not guarding you. Just go straight to the rack. And I think the Warriors did that for 12 straight minutes. Clay finally hit a big shot at the end. Steph put him to sleep with that three-pointer, and that was it, man. Just an incredible performance by a team that I think at this point we can safely say that was a championship performance right there. That was reminded me of 2019 against Houston very much.
Yeah, and you know what the bigger thing for me is? I mean, it's not a bigger thing, but I want to bring it up. This does feel like the type of game that swings a series. If Dallas wins this one, I would text you, we're going seven. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the type of thing where the Warriors professionally closing this game out. Now they're up 2-0. I'm sure Dallas will eventually get a game in Dallas and make this a series, but not giving this game away when you fought all the way back, that's big. That's been a big thing I've seen from this team all playoffs. It's been less playing with your food, more just going
out. All right, let's talk about Steph Curry. I've waited 10 minutes for this one. This was a performance where you can argue that Luka Doncic is the best player on the floor, but I'm always going to take the guy, number 30 from the Warriors. Just an incredible performance. 5 threes in the first half. Kept him afloat. He was really the only guy in the first half that was making shots defensively. And did he even give up a bucket? Right? Like, did he even give up a score? No easy buckets the entire game. And then when it comes to crunch time, Steph was incredible. No bullshit threes, right? Did we see him dance and shoot the fadeaway three? Not in crunch time. Took it straight to the rack. Blew by Bullock, Dorian Finney-Smith every single time, and won. And then he hit the three to end the game with, ironically, a pass from Clay driving to the hole. So, Sam, people are going to always talk about Luka being the best player on the floor in this series. I'm taking Steph every single day. And just a vintage 30 performance tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing was, I felt like there were stretches where I'm like, dude, why is Steph not touching the ball? Why? You always know what I'm saying? Like, yep. I feel like he could have got 45 to 50 on this team. I don't think Dallas had any clue how to guard him. They just got lucky with denying him a little bit and like the ball not finding him with quintessential Warrior stuff. But in general, I mean, I Steph kind of making up for what was a subpar offensive performance in game one. right. And he came through when he needed. Like down the stretch, they were just trading baskets. Luka was hitting shots, but Steph was kind of targeting Luka on the other end. He's like, bro, we're up 10. If you want to play this trading baskets game, I got you. You know, like you're not going to outshoot me, that type of thing. That's kind of how it went down the stretch, in my opinion. It was, you know, Steph kind of he seized the moment when he needed to, and then down the stretch he brought the team home. Yeah,
it felt a little.
I have no complaints,
right? It wasn't it a mature. You talked about Clay being like a mature performance. Didn't that feel like it from Steph? At this point in Steph's career, 34 years old, it does feel like, hey, he knows that when it comes crunch time, he's always going to make those shots. Not that we didn't think he was going to do before, but he does it differently now. It's just not those killer step back threes anymore, right? Off screen threes. It's just like, I'm just going to get to the hole and finish every single time. It's a little different. And it's just, I feel a lot more confident in the way that he's doing it. It is really cool to see the maturity that he's doing. It's just really cool, man. A guy that's doing it in his mid 30s.
Yeah, it honestly feels like the basketball equivalent of Tom Brady to me, where it's like, and I mean this as kind of a compliment and kind of backhanded too. Like, every year, everyone like loves to geek out over Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers making these insane, like superhuman plays. And I get it. They're insane, superhuman plays. Meanwhile, Tom Brady's just going out there and professionally winning games by just doing like fundamentally boring stuff to get it done. And then making a big play when he needs to. That's what Steph's basketball feels like now. Like, it doesn't feel like the Steph of a decade ago.
When he was the Mahomes. Like, he used to be the Mahomes. Oh, my God. Yeah. He used to be the Mahomes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Now he's like, I'm going to control the game. I'm going to take over when I need to. I'll hit some shots, but it's going to be a very controlled type of situation. I'm going to get everyone involved, and you're going to all complain about, like, how I'm not that good but still winning.
I mean, shit, dude. You said it better than anybody could say. It's all about winning games, man. And Steph Curry's winning games. Do we need to get to anyone else before we go to the goons?
Do you want to do a quick second on Draymond? Not.
Yeah.
I mean, this is probably the one negative. I think I'm going to spin this to a positive because the Warriors are up 2-0 right now. I could not see a Warriors team a year ago or any time during the title run being capable of digging in defensively for this long of stretches without Draymond Green in the past. And it speaks to Looney's development, and it kind of speaks to the entire roster's development that they're capable of playing defense at this high level if Draymond's not on his game. So while it would be better if Draymond did not foul out in 28 minutes and have an all-around just kind of dud of a game, it speaks to this being a far more complete roster than you or I probably thought it was, that they can ride performances like that.
Made possible, frankly, by the steadiness of Kevon Looney and Otto Porter. It's what it is. It just Kevon. When Draymond fouled out, I didn't have a reaction, Sam. I didn't care. To me, I was like, okay, get Looney back in.
It's a Looney game. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Draymond's an incredible player. We love Draymond. Draymond's going to win the Warriors a few more games here before the season ends. But tonight, when Draymond fouled out, I said, yeah.
I think he's obviously still the best defender on the team, who can raise his game to a level no one else can defensively. But they're no longer dependent on him defensively, if you know what I mean. Like, they – I don't know how long they can sustain poor play, but they can definitely ride a half without Draymond. They can ride periods of time without him, which is something they couldn't do in the past. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's growth.
And I think offensively, the same thing goes for Jordan Poole. We haven't mentioned Jordan Poole. They can ride the struggles of Klay Thompson because they have Jordan Poole. And part of this is, like, Draymond's old and Klay's old. Right, like, these guys are older, they're injured, right? They're not different monsters like Steph Curry, who's 34 and still kind of just the same guy, right? He's just kind of just awesome, no matter what. Dray and Klay are still amazing, and they're going to give you amazing efforts at times. But the Warriors now, they can win when those guys are off because Kevon Looney's incredible defensively at this point, and Jordan Poole tonight. Jordan Poole tonight got to the rim more than Steph. It felt like. Dallas has no answer for Jordan Poole. Not a soul. Not a soul on that court game, Jordan Poole. And this is where me and you were mentioning in their preview podcast where, yeah, I think Dallas would try to play Jordan Poole off the court, but I think Jordan Poole was just going to be too good offensively to ever stay off the court in this series.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm kind of expecting Dallas at some point to try to just target him if he keeps going off like this. But, yeah, I mean – look, Jordan Poole, as friend of the show Connor Letourneau noted, the Warriors are hoping to sign him for 4 years, $100 million. I think it's going to be higher than that. My point is, the kid is special. The kid has
– he's awesome.
There's a limited number of guys who can put the ball in the hoop the way he can.
Well, he's got a level.
Let's talk about that. That's kind of the fun part about Jordan Poole. Like, he's young. He hasn't been in this situation before. But do you doubt him?
Nah.
Like, are you just like, ooh, I'm worried he's going to get shook? Like, no, if anything, I'm worried he thinks he's the best player on the court with, like, Luka and Steph on the court,
right.
You know?
Right.
Like, he's going to overdo it. But, like, he's just, you know, he's got it and – yeah, I'm just excited to see.
Just wait till Jordan Poole figures out how to play defense, right? Like, just wait, because he's gonna figure out how to play defense the way Steph figured out how to play defense. Just wait.
Like when that happens, it's going to be even more special.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Just an incredible Warriors performance tonight. You ready to get to the Light Years Goonies?
Let's do it. We're going to go to our guy Ryan, who's on site at Chase. Oh, first trip to Chase for my guy Ryan.
Hey, what's up, boys?
Legend.
Are you in the plaza?
No, we are. I'm here with Ty.
Ew.
We are out here in the team store trying to hunt down a Looney jersey.
Nice.
Yeah, what a game. The crowd got loud in the second half. It was awful in the first half. Steph Curry, I thought Doncic was about to do the 07 Braun at the end of the fourth, but Steph Curry and Poole said, what a game. Championship level stuff.
I love it, Ryan. Ryan, you owe us. Go find us a Looney jersey and post a picture of it.
I love Ryan, man.
It's rough with the connection given that, but we're gonna need to follow through on that one. I do appreciate the call live from site. Let's keep moving. Dylan, what's up, man?
Heck yeah, I'm glad that you guys got Ryan and Ty in there first. I was gonna shout him out and say that Lacob needs to be given away tickets to our regular Light Years pod listeners since we have two there and we saw what happened tonight. So heck yeah, this game was amazing. A couple things I wanted to talk about. One is, I saw your tweet earlier, Sam. I completely agree. I really missed Fitz tonight. I really needed to hear hear single digits. I heard it in my mind, but I really needed to hear it live. It would have helped. Do you guys think that I really, you guys know I'm not a huge Kerr guy sometimes, but like I really felt like this was growth tonight. Like Lee is kind of our guard Varejao, and you know Moody is our Spates, and he went to Spates. He didn't leave Varejao in. It was good. And then last thing, y'all think we just need to stop doubling Luka, right? Like just let him cook, and don't let those other dudes take open threes by doing these dumb doubles. All right, I'll let y'all talk.
I like it. First off, Andy, I know you were thinking we needed a good fit, get it to single digits when the Mavs were up like 18, 19.
Yo, I was yelling it. Look, I drank a little bit, but like I was yelling like, yo, can we get it to 8 points by the end of the third? Like, and then, you know, I had a quick self-realization and a self-awareness. I thought to myself, oh my God, the older I become, the more I become Bob Fitzgerald.
Yeah, dude, we're, by the way, Light Years live watch parties in Notre Dame football. I think we touched on it earlier, but do you agree with Dylan? Like, this feels like the most proactive coaching from Steve Kerr
100%,
of the title 100%. Run. And it makes sense with the roster he has. So, you know, shout out to Coach Kerr on that side.
Yep. I really needed Fitz tonight, though. I can't stop thinking about it. Really, can you imagine the performance that Fitz would have thrown out there tonight with the way that? Oh my God.
I was gonna say, I remember Dylan's last question here. This actually was one I wanted to ask you about earlier. Should they continue to double Luka, or should they
stop? Did they double Luka tonight? I felt like they switched it up a little bit. I don't know if they did it consistently. My problem.
They didn't stick to one coverage. Like you're objectively correct on that, but they did do that. Send a second body and then bait and drop types thing.
My problem is they're not communicating well enough when they do the hard hedge. Like when Wiggins is a hard hedge and he didn't get through, Steph is still, or Clay or Poole, whoever, is coming out to Luka, and then they go away regardless of whether that hedge happens or not. So the problem tonight was they'd hedge and then they go immediately back to their guy. But the problem is Wiggins got clipped by the screen and Wiggins is completely out of play. I think in those situations, I think the Warriors are trying so hard not to switch. It really leaves the guy wide open. So a lot of this is just effort. A lot of this is just like, what can you do with a guy that good? Just nothing you can do, right? If Luka's going to make 28-foot threes like he did.
Yeah, I do. I feel like, in my personal opinion, is I kind of am pro-trapping Luka. Mostly because I just don't believe those guys can hit shots. I don't care if they hit shots tonight. I don't believe they're actually good enough offensively to take advantage of the fact that he's a phenomenal passer. I think what got the Mavs going tonight was Luka hitting a bunch of dumb shots. I feel like they feed off of him in that way, and that's just kind of the way they are. And I could be wrong. I totally get it, because Luka can make like LeBron, Jokic type of passes out of a double. So like you're a little scared to send a second guy at him because he's going to find the open guy. But I don't know. That's just where I'm at.
Maybe I'm
wrong.
And no, he's a little Steph-esque in that way, where if he gets going, it's kind of over for you.
All right, let's keep going. Nikos.
Hello, guys. We need to talk about Andrew Wiggins, I think. Probably the second best player on the team the whole playoffs after Steph. And I think he should take a lot more credit than this. Probably a max player right now.
Ooh, I like it. I don't know about that, but I do think Wiggins has been more consistent than, and this is wild to say, Draymond and Clay in the playoffs. I'm not saying he's been better overall. Clay and Draymond have had bigger games than him, but I feel like Wiggins game to game has been a little more consistent than those guys, and that's kind of shocking to me. I did not see that coming.
And you know what it is? It's defensively. I mean, it's just the way that he is defensively right now. And he's just consistently – he's become Otto Porter, or like a role player in terms of the hustle. He's getting to all the loose balls, right? He's always making the type of play that you always say – I always say that winning players make. Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, Otto – like those guys just always make the winning tip outs, the winning rebounds, the winning shots, right? He's getting all those plays. And we didn't really see that the last couple of years. It just all of a sudden, 16-game player Andrew Wiggins he's hitting threes. I thought tonight maybe he shot a little bit too much, but I'd rather Andrew Wiggins be aggressive than not aggressive, honestly. Like, I'd rather him try to go to the hole than not. And just defensively, he's by far their best defender. Clay is
best perimeter defender, not even close.
Having a rough go of it lately, and I feel for him because I think he's trying, and I just think he knows that he doesn't have it right now, so I feel bad for him. But it's literally Andrew Wiggins on an island out there defensively on the perimeter, and he's doing special stuff, man. He's doing special stuff, especially with GP2 and Andre out. Like he just all of it is on Andrew Wiggins' shoulder. It's really cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, he is – look, man, I've been skeptical of him the entire way. It is what it is. I'm not going to, pretend I haven't been. I didn't believe he would be able to turn up like this in the playoffs. I did not know how he would respond when games got tough. Not only has he answered every one of those challenges, he's been more consistent than I could ever hope for. Yeah, man. I don't even think he shot the ball well tonight. Yeah, actually, looking at the stats, he did not shoot the ball particularly well tonight, particularly on twos.
But I think that's the mark of him officially being a big time winning player. He was objectively a positive impact player on a night where maybe he wasn't efficient scoring wise. That's something I couldn't have seen from him a year ago. I wouldn't have seen from a year ago. And that's the type of thing you're used to, like Steph or Draymond doing. You're like, yeah, they weren't super efficient tonight, but they made so many winning plays. And I just can't speak enough to his growth, honestly.
All right, let's keep moving. Karima.
Hey there, fellas. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Okay, I think we were all fits in the first half, just talking about, like, get it to single digits. If we just get it to single digits, we've got a chance here. But my question is, shout out to Looney, of course, because he's just been magnificent the entire playoffs, period. And shout out to Otto Porter and his new haircut, because I think it's really working for him. But question, do we think this time around that we will get Jordan Poole to carry over this momentum that he had in this game to Dallas to where, hey, I'm feeling like we could clean up in Dallas and take both.
Oh, boy.
We could take both.
Oh, boy.
Because look at, for us to come back like we did, we made that second half adjustment. I'm feeling real confident, fellas. But I'm gonna let y'all go at it. I think we need Poole, you know, to keep this going. And shout out to New Yorkers. Sorry about that, Sam.
Karima, I love it. Have a great evening. You know what? Winning a game like tonight does make a five game series feel really realistic. I think that's what's really exciting about winning tonight. If they lose tonight, you and I would be on here being like, it's a long series. They're going to get
Six games.
Yeah, minimum, you know?
Yep.
But like you start doing the math. Okay, if they lost tonight, they probably split in Dallas. Now it's 2-2. Win game three, but then you got to go back to Dallas. You might lose that. All of a sudden, it's game seven. Now, all they got to do is win one in Dallas, and they have a chance to close it at Chase. It's that simple for them. And that's like a worst-case scenario for them. So get one done in Dallas, and you get to close it. You know, first off, you got Joey his extra night of gates, you know, and that's important. That might be GP2's contract, you know.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
but then you put yourself really in a driver's seat if you're up 3-1. You know, it just is what it is. This game, I mean, I think as I reflect on it more so, like, coming back and winning this one to make sure you take care of home court, it's a bigger deal than we're giving it credit for.
Yeah, that's the backbreaker game, because when I mapped the series out, I picked the Warriors in six. I said they split at home, they split on the road because they always win one road game, and they win the last two because the Mavs get tired and the Warriors make enough adjustments. That was a very just like tight and easy, just Warriors classic series, right, in six. But the way that they play tonight, the Mavs went just 100% from three in the first half. I don't know if they get this hot again in two games, because the way that this series is going to go is the only way the Mavs get it back in this series is they win both, right? And for them to win both, they need to shoot the same amount they did from three tonight at home twice. And I don't know if that's going to happen. And I think, as we always know, the Warriors are always, always, always going to win on road games. So you would think coming back on game five, which is next,
they're playing every Thursday? 2 days, so I'm just
Thursday. It's going to be a closeout game. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a closeout game next Thursday, and I think if you're the Warriors, it's like the same thing that they did against Memphis. You don't want to go back on the road. Clean it up, take care of it, and that's like you said, man. This game too was a it was huge. It was huge because
pivotal.
If they lose this game, the series could go either way. They win this game, and now it feels like they're on a fast track to the finals. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and that's kind of been the story of the postseason for the Warriors this year, where they've been taking care of business where they need to. You're going to get beat a little bit. This isn't – they don't have overwhelming talent. Like, it's not 2017. They have to work for it, but they are taking care of business where they need to get themselves out of trouble and not get themselves into silly scenarios like they did in 2015 or 16 when they were a little younger and cockier. So I'm going to move forward. Let's get to our guy, Will.
Let's go. What a dub, fellas.
I got the tweet of the night from my guy Dieter Kurtenbach. Tatum is 24, Booker is 25, Looney is 26, Giannis is 27. This league is in good hands. What a game, fellas.
Okay, I'm going to let you wax poetic. Keep going.
Oh, I love it, man. hell of a game. Kayvon Looney deserves all the praise, one of the highest IQs on the team. I need more Jordan Poole, especially when that second half starts. That guy can get to the rim whenever the hell he wants, man. He is a living legend. I love what I see from him. Curry, to all the people that say this man ain't clutch, he just made some big, big shots down the stretch in game two. I love it. Big win. I've got a question for y'all and a request. The question is, would you rather, like myself, start Moody over Kuminga if we do have to start a rookie with D-Lee kind of crapping out there? And the request is, I heard you guys are going to get Nick Wright. Bring him to the green room. We want this man. We want this man loud and proud. This man, the most famous Warrior slanderer. I want that man, dude. Bring him to the green room. I want a title first, and then I want Nick Wright and his head on a platter. Let's go, baby. Go Dubs.
By the way, Sam, thanks for calling.
I want him alone.
Sam, Sam, is it friend of the show, Nick Wright? Is it friend of the show, Nick Wright?
Yeah, it's like Magic and Bird here. We're frenemies, you know?
We'll get him on.
All I will say is the rumors are trending towards true. The date has not been officially locked up, but we are in negotiations. Our representation is speaking with his representation to bring it together. We are hopeful. I do love the idea of getting him on Green Room, but I don't think that's going to be the way it's going to go.
By the way, since this is a podcast and maybe people won't see it on Twitter, friend of the show, Dave McMenamin, was in the downtown area in San Francisco and got called out for saying collaborative talent. So Warriors fans, they hold grudges and they let it be known. Any Warriors slanderer, Warriors Twitter, Warriors fans will let it be known. So shout out to friend of the show, Mick 10.
More of an acquaintance of the show. Anyway, Isaiah, what's up, man?
Yo, my bad. I did not expect
not a problem
for you guys to let me talk. But I just wanted to ask if it's possible to keep Poole and Wiggins, but we have to get rid of Draymond, would we do it?
Oh man, that's a tough question. I think I'm gonna play the optimist card right now. I think it's more possible than you think to keep all of them, honestly. I think as they keep playing, you can't assume that every player is going to have a max market. So I don't think it's going to – I think that there's opportunity for the Warriors here. End of the day, they still control all these players for one more season. They're all under contract one more year. So we don't really need to cross this bridge yet. That's all I have to say. We don't need to cross this bridge right now.
As Sam always says, like you just said, man, let's enjoy the ride. They've got the season, win the championship or not. Enjoy the season, and they got to
win. But actually, no, win it. Don't or not. All right, let's get friend of the show, Larry, up here. Larry, what's up?
Okay, I'm just going to say this. I'm going to put myself out there as saying that I apologize officially to Steve Kerr. I did not understand that he's a defense first coach, absolutely, and that he wouldn't let guys like Poole on the court until they could at least put up some resistance. This team is winning on defense. It is winning on just locking down. And admittedly, we gave up 73 points in the first half, but they were making shots. You know, we didn't give up. We kept playing the same game. We wore them down. And I think he's borderline genius. Having said that, how does Looney make 20 points without taking a shot from more than 2 feet? Okay. I mean, if you look at his shot pattern on ESPN, all of his makes, they're right on top of each other. You can't count 10 baskets, but they're there. The pool. Incredible. what can you say? This team is just, it's poised to be possibly, and I didn't think they could do this. I called, I don't know how many times I called and said they've got to trade the picks that gave us Moody and Kuminga. But maybe we're able to round this out just because Steph Curry really is the best ever. And by the way, Andy, please pick somebody else than Tom Brady to compare him to, because he's better than him and he's a better person than Brady.
See, that's on Sam. That Larry, was Sam.
Larry, was Sam. I appreciate you. I'm sorry. The dude was winning a Super Bowl at 45. I at a certain point, I have to acquiesce.
I didn't watch Joe Montana growing up, and I think a lot of people still say Joe's never lost a big game, and I think Joe in today's game probably lasts a little bit longer, right, just because the way football was played back then. But in my generation, Samuel, Larry, TB12, the greatest I ever seen.
Let's get Mario up here. Mario, what's up, man?
What's going on, fellas?
Enjoying a big win.
Honestly, it feels like the main thing that I'm finding from this game is we really got to thank the development staff, because the young guys are playing amazing. We for the longest, they were terrible. All our young guys, bust out the league. And now we're really seeing that it's coming to fruition with Steve even trusting Moody in there on some big minutes, finally getting D-Lee out of there. I just want to thank Steve. I want to thank the development staff. We about to sweep this thing.
Woo! That is a fair call out, though. I want to bring that to attention. We were not happy with the Warriors' coaching and development last season. I don't think that's like a hot take.
You know who else wasn't happy? Joe Lacob wasn't happy. You know why, Sam? Tell him why. You know what he did after?
He said, "Carte Blanche, take my wallet."
He said, "I'm going to hire all the freaking best coaches that we can hire. Kenny Atkinson's about to be a head coach. Shama Malalia is going to be a head coach at some point, right? Dejan Mihailovic is going to make James Wiseman incredible, right?" They hired all the right pieces, man.
They really committed to being a development-first organization. They upgraded Steve Kerr's staff. They leaned into the idea of being a development-first organization while winning. And you know what? Skepticism aside, gotta tip the cap, because it's working and players are being developed. Jordan Poole's getting better. Kuminga had a positive rookie season.
Wiggins. Moses
Moody just played a great season. Yeah. The obvious ones, honestly, are Wiggins and Looney. They just keep getting better. They just keep getting better. Even someone like Otto Porter, who came to the Warriors damaged goods. Otto was a small forward before his injuries. They kind of turned him into a center. And like, kind of a really good one too, you know, like they didn't just like, all right, you're gonna play center now because you're slow. Like he's actually good at the position.
By the way, shout out OPJ. He hit the three that put the Warriors in the lead and they never looked back.
Yeah. And he had just a wildly efficient night on both ends of the floor. He was out there playing great defense when they were chipping away at the game, when Draymond was in foul trouble. But he also had a super efficient night. He made all his shots, 4 for 4, 11 points, 7 rebounds in 24 minutes, 4 assists. I mean, it was just it was an Otto Porter game. I mean, the Otto's biggest crime tonight was Looney played better than him. So we opened the show on Looney, you know? But I think Otto's kind of a development point for this team, you know? Like, they were able to take a player who's talented but kind of was in a bad situation and rehabbed and recreated his career. All right, let's keep moving. We'll do a couple more, and then we're going to have to call it night. Mike, what's up, man?
Yo, what's up, dudes? I just got in here, but that was an electric experience. I'll never live it like that moment again. But I just want to shout out all the Moody truthers. Like, the kid... I've been saying it all year. I don't know why they didn't play him more in the regular season. We'd have the number one seed. Like, what happened there? Like, why are we watching, like, Damian Lee in the Big Bird shoes all the time? I'm tired of it. I never want to see him again. That's my moment right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I often feel the same way. Like, I understand why Kuminga kind of ebbs and flows in the rotation. Like, world-breaking talent, but like, you watch him, there's games where you're like, yeah, he looks like a teenager.
Moses Moody kind of plays like an old man. Like, he's kind of got some veteran guile. And I never feel like I've watched a Moody game where I'm like, wow, he's lost. Like, you're never walking away. You never walk away from him. Yeah, exactly. What I'm saying is you never walk away like, wow, his head wasn't in the game, you know?
Was it him that got the tip to Wiggins when Wiggins cashed that three?
I believe so. I mean, he knocked one out to Otto, or was it Clay earlier in the game too? I mean, he has a phenomenal feel. There's no way around that.
The wingspan, I think, is what's got to be the key, right? Like, he's long. It's underrated how long he is. The dude. Have you seen that photo of him like touching the top of the door and the floor?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think the craziest thing is like, and Mike, we appreciate the call.
Thanks.
Moody should play more minutes, but they have a deep roster. I think Moody will play a lot of minutes next year. Like, it's not hard to see him being a valuable contributor to this team immediately going into next year. So, he's kind of been buried on this roster, but he is a valuable, valuable player for them. Let's get to Greg. Greg, what's up, man?
Hey, buddies. What a game, man. Oh my goodness. Just the range of emotions. And, you know, there's something special about this team and basketball that where it's, you can have a rough week, man. It was a long week for me. And you get to the end of the week, rooting for your team, down by 20. But you never, with this team, you don't give up hope, right? Like, a little bit. Like, I was thinking, like, oh, shit, they're going to throw this away. But they kept calm. And they kept – and you know the calmness? Looney. Loon dog. Build the statue. Build the statue right now. What an incredible performance. Even with his performance, we needed big minutes from Otto Porter Jr. And then Steph, just a classic performance, but a classic performance in this new version of Steph, right? Where he had a little trouble getting separation in the early parts because he was getting doubled all the time and just constantly swarmed. But he found a way through it all. And so it's just, God, needed that win, man. And it felt good to just root for a team that's just homegrown talent and watching them just do what they do. Championship ball. So
I appreciate it, Greg.
He makes a good point. So I want to point that out. He makes a great point about the homegrown type of style that the Warriors have been doing. It hits different. It really does. There's something different about rooting for guys that were drafted by the team.
We slander in 35 again.
I'm just saying it hits different. It feels amazing. You know, Trey Lance wins a couple championships with the Niners. It's going to be awesome. Buster Posey. Three championships.
Trey Lance below Looney on the podium.
of course,
barrier of Mount Rushmore. Like the Mount Rushmore barrier at Mount Rushmore is Joe Montana. We'll throw Barry Bonds, Steph Curry, Kevon Looney. That's my Mount Rushmore right now. Those are the four most important athletes in Bay Area history, as far as I'm concerned. I'm messing around, but you are 100% correct. Like there's something special to watching a guy going through the growing pains of the guy.
It really is. I mean, we watched Jordan Poole go through the worst of times. We watched Kevon Looney go through injuries. Just, man, it's great. It's great. Nolan.
Hey, fellas, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Awesome. I have two main thoughts. Number one is that, I was wondering if we'd be able to get a win where Luka goes for a ton of points and rebounds and assists, and the Mavs hit a ton of threes. That felt like they needed to win one of those. And second of all, I love hearing Reggie call Steph's games.
I kind of like that. I'm actually begrudgingly, I enjoyed Reggie and Stan tonight. I'm not generally a Stan Van Gundy guy, but I thought they actually called a really good game.
Reggie's good. Me and you like Reggie. I think the thing about Reggie is
He's happy.
Reggie concern trolling every time a guy falls also just makes me laugh.
Very fits.
It's like, no, dude, he did not tear his ACL fall. Chill out.
You know? Otto Porter falls down and he's like, oh my God, did he break his face? Hey, the thing about Reggie, and I think this goes for kind of all basketball and just sports announcing. Happy announcers are cool, man. Like, we don't need to hear announcers that are just – they don't like the game, right? You and I, the thing with Reggie is he's cool. Like, he just enjoys basketball, and he's very happy. That's all we want. I'm not trying to find the meaning of life in basketball announcing, man. I just want to have fun. That's all this is.
That's it. All right, we got one more caller before we get out of here, and we got to bring closing? On.
Who's closing?
I mean, you got to bring in – you know, I'm calling the closer signal, put on Enter Sandman. You know who goes.
Yeah.
Yo, what's up, guys? Wow, what a win. And what we should be talking about is Stephen Curry. What the hell? Yeah, let's bring this down. Everyone wants to talk about Luka Doncic being some type of, like, savior of basketball. I don't see him turning you guys like Kevon Looney into superstars going 20-10. I don't see him working with young guys and developing them into talents like Jordan Poole. Where is all the credit that belongs to Stephen Curry? We should be all praising him now for all these great things that happened. We could even withstand a Draymond foul out and still put these guys to bed. And they shot the lights out. They are in trouble. The Dallas Mavericks are in trouble, and we're going to get our brooms. I already got some milk cartons set up looking for the rest of that Mavs roster, and we're going to sweep their ass out in Dallas.
Mick Walters, appreciate you. The one and only pastor. The only man appropriate enough to end these shows. We appreciate everyone calling in. You know, we'll be back after game 3.
Yes, sir. Sunday night. See you then.